There's never been a time that's been more important for us to know the real story of Jesus and why he came than now. You look around for things you can trust in.
Right.
What is there? I mean, one of the things that just overwhelms me is the loss of truth in our world. And yet here's the one who's being born, who's the way, the truth, and the life.
David, Jeremiah, Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas to the both of you. Yeah. What a privilege to be with you.
You know, Lori and I were in Dallas, Texas. We went to this big store and we went through and you could buy ornaments, you could buy this, you could buy that. And there weren't any nativity scenes in this big store right here in the Bible Belt. And that irritates me beyond, okay?
Well, you've just hit the nerve that caused all of what we're going to talk about today to happen, because what I've said before is that when they try to tell other stories of Christmas, the problem is the original story is way better.
Yeah.
And if they would just tell the original story, nobody's ever had a story like that except God. It's God's story of Christmas, and it gets pushed to the side so much with all that happens. Mm.
The Nativity is a brand new project that you've been involved in, David, and sitting with you behind stage here a little while ago, you were reminding me of my own father's passion for storytelling. This is your first executive producer role in making a film. You got to watch the process, and the Nativity story. You couldn't have picked a better story to get involved in.
Congratulations.
No, it actually, what people don't realize is the Nativity is part one of the redemption.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he came to be one of us,
yeah,
so that he could pay the price for our sin. And if you don't get that right, if Jesus isn't who the Bible says he is, we don't have any story.
You're at the pinnacle of your ministry. You could be spending your time doing a lot of things, and you decided to do something very difficult. I'm aware of how difficult films are. The 400 people that it takes to make them and everybody involved. Why the Nativity story for you? Where did this come from?
Well, I'll have to tell you, part of it is I don't like to live in the box.
Okay.
I like to live outside the box. I like to do things that nobody expects us to do, because the Bible teaches us that God wants to get involved in our lives. And sometimes the projects that we come up with aren't God-sized projects. Mm. I promise you, and you know this, this is a God-sized project. Without God behind all of this, enabling people who've never had some experience to do this, this could never have happened. And, you know, when that happens, God gets the glory, and we get to be the cheerleaders. But this has really been a God thing from the beginning. I wrote a book in 2006 for Tyndale House. They had called and asked me if I would write a book answering 25 questions about Christmas, and they needed it in 3 weeks. And again, we worked together. I had preached on almost all of this, so it was not a matter of starting from scratch. We just took all these things and we wrote about why Bethlehem, why the angels, why Mary, why Joseph, why was Jesus born when he was born? And that became this book, Why the Nativity? And then this creative guy that works for me, Paul Joyner, he got the idea of creating a Christmas documentary out of it. And he took it and wrote a script. And I remember the day he brought me in, and he had already storyboarded the whole thing. And he showed me the script and he said, I think we can do this.
Movies are hard to make. Mm-hmm. And they are a labor of love. And unless there is a story that you care about, you sometimes would just give up and abandon it. And you know, projects fail all the time. But David, let me ask you one thing just to kind of touch on. I want your thoughts on this. Bill Gaither is our common friend. I was just with Bill recently. And he was telling us, in a production that we're doing with him, why do we know who Bill Gaither is? And he started talking about his early career, and he wrote a song called
Because
He Lives. And how did those lyrics start again? I can't remember.
Is it, how sweet to know a newborn baby, mm-hmm, or something like that. It was her words. It was it was Gloria's words.
Gloria. Right. And so she starts writing this song for her son, mm-hmm, and who or her baby who's going to be
about
born
her baby.
Mm-hmm. About the baby. Mm-hmm. And They don't realize it's going to be a big national song because he lives. They don't know that at the time. And basically, the Lord started communicating to them that they were writing this song because they were pregnant in the tumultuous 60s. You know, Los Angeles was on fire. There was just a, you know, in their mind, it was a terrible time to bring a newborn baby into the world. And then the Lord started communicating, well, wait a second.
Has there ever been a good time?
The world has always been unstable. Mm-hmm. And you jumped on that and you started talking backstage about how it was one of the most tumultuous times in the history of the world when Jesus was brought into the world. That gives us comfort that we can face tomorrow just because he lives.
You know what, Matt, when you read the scripture, it says this, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. What does that mean, in the fullness of time? It's just the right time. It's just the right moment. He sent forth his son. I was telling you that when Jesus came, they had just developed the road system in Rome. The Roman road system was beginning to develop so the gospel could travel. Mm-hmm. And the Greek language was becoming very prominent throughout the whole biblical world. But also at the right time, because the world into which Jesus was born was very much like the world into which Gloria and Bill's baby was born.
And like today.
And like
really.
Today.
Yeah.
So what that says to me is there's never been a time that's been more important for us to know the real story of Jesus and why he came than now. You look around for things you can trust in.
Right.
What is there? I mean, one of the things that just overwhelms me is the loss of truth in our world. And yet here's the one who is being born, who's the way, the truth, and the life. He is still the way, the truth, and the life. And people who know Jesus and are related to him in a meaningful way are able to walk through these terrible things that we're living with right now. And they have a stability in their life. I think one of the things in this movie, we've talked about how to have a stable life in an unstable world, kind of talking about the stable that Jesus was born into.
Wow.
And that's the message of this movie.
We know that Jesus is the stability in our life. We know that. But it's not good enough to have that fact be present. You have to believe it. See, so you don't get anything out of the cross until you believe. So you don't really get this peace in the midst of the storm until you believe it. What if somebody has never heard that they can do that?
First of all, it would be very hard for them to hear it if they're looking for it in the way we do Christmas.
There you go.
Because Christmas is almost always about something else. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's this whole deal about you can't even have major scenes someplace because of the stipulations. Mm-hmm. So the first thing is you got to break through all of that with the message of who Christ is. And that's again why we're doing this and why we celebrate it while this place is so beautifully decorated so you can talk to people about the real meaning of Christmas. But if you don't, it's not enough just to know who Jesus was or to know about him. You have to know him personally. Mm. You have to have a relation with him. You know, I know a lot of important people by name, but I've never met them.
Mm. Yeah.
A lot of people know about Jesus, they just never met them. And we're hoping that this film will create a hunger in the hearts of people to know who this real person is, because he is a real person. He is the Son of the living God who became one of us out of his love for us, so that he could represent us on the cross. Mm-hmm. God, man, that's who he was, 100% God, 100% man. And in order to be man, he had to be born. And he came and was born in this miraculous way. And we've tried to celebrate that with this movie.
You know, I love what you were just talking about, that you're shocked at the lack of truth, the loss of truth nowadays. And that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's what makes Jesus relevant in any year, for thousands of years, so relevant to our lives today, because he is the truth. He is the one that makes all things amazing. If we know him, and if we trust him, and if we give our lives to him, we have such a foundation. We have such a center to our world.
Absolutely.
You know, and so we don't ever have to be messed up.
No, and you know what, Lori, when you know him and you know that that works in your life, and then you look around and see the pain and the anguish that so many people are going through, so much of it unnecessary if they had someone they knew who was the center, who was the truth, as you mentioned. Yes. And here's the whole point. That message began in a place historically 2,000 years ago in a little village called Bethlehem when the God of heaven became a man. And we celebrate that in our communion when we take the bread. We celebrate it throughout. And for 2,000 years, that's been the core message that's made Christianity work. It works. It's not just something we believe. It's something that happens in our lives every day.
It's a tumultuous time. Mm-hmm. There's rampant inflation, gas prices, everything that we know to be true. But how do we take the birth of a child and correlate it to being that peace in the midst of what life is, by some people's definition, the storm?
Well, the great hunger in the heart of people is for truth and for meaning. And so many people right now, as you mentioned, are wondering about all of that. And for many people, the things they thought were true aren't true, or at least not being portrayed as true. But when someone comes, as Jesus did, in such an, I mean, who could have scripted this story? I mean, he came and he was born in the most humble way, in a stable, and presented himself, first of all, to a bunch of lowly shepherds who were the outcast of their generation. And he was worshiped by these shepherds and then declared to the world to be the Savior. What does that mean? That he had the answer to the problem that we face, that we're guilty. We know we're guilty of sin. We have an empty place in our heart. We try to fill it with everything else. And Jesus is the one who came to fill that empty place. And the Bible says he wants to dwell with us. Mm. He wants to be at home with us. He wants to move in and be comfortable in our lives. And when that happens, the other stuff seems almost, it's happening, but so what? We have Jesus. We have the realization that he is in our lives and guiding us and directing us, and that he's our future, because we're going to spend eternity with him. It's just an amazing thing when you have that.
You mentioned a few minutes ago, in the fullness of time. So there was a appointed time for Jesus to be born. It was Roman occupation of Judea. There was, you know, a paranoid king named Herod who slaughtered children looking for this child. He didn't want the competition. You know, it was an appointed time. There are people that appointed time they're viewing right now. We're talking about the true meaning of Christmas. Invite them to know this Savior that was born 2,000 years ago.
You know, one of the things that's been said about this film, it's John 3:16 in living color.
There it is.
Because that's the Christmas story.
Yes.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And you know, I was just reading this passage in Ephesians 3, where Paul was praying that the Ephesians would know the length and the breadth and the width and the depth of the love of God. And that's John 3:16. Mm-hmm. John 3:16 is the length, breadth, and depth and height of the love of God. When God came here, it was the greatest gift he could have offered. He looked around heaven. What can I send to these people to help them be forgiven of their sin and come to a realization of my plan for them? I know what I'll do. I'll send them my Son.
Beautiful.
And he sent his only begotten Son. He couldn't just send him as an adult. He sent him as a baby. Yeah. The miraculous birth of Jesus was the beginning of this love story, which we've tried to capture in this movie. The beauty of this movie is the beauty of the love of God for his people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And anyone can receive this gift. He gave the gift, but you have to receive it. You have to say, okay, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and I receive him as my Savior. I ask for his forgiveness of my sin. If you do that, Christmas will never be the same again.
Yeah.
Father, we cannot be thankful enough in our whole lives if we used every minute to say thank you. It would never even be close for what you have done. To see us in our misery and our sin, our separation from God, and to provide a solution, and that solution was your Son. You loved us so much that you would not withhold the best heaven could offer, but you sent him here that he could live among us and walk among us, live a perfect life, and as the spotless Lamb of God, go to the cross and die there. Lord, we wonder sometimes how one man could die for the whole world, but he was the infinite God. His life was infinite and his death was infinite. So when he died one-on-one for everyone who would believe in him. And today someone, Lord, is listening to me, watching this program, and they've never understood how much God loves them. They have never understood the incredible love that God has for them. Maybe they don't feel loved right now, but the Word of God tells us how much God loves us. And he proved his love not with words, but with action. And he sent his Son here to be his love gift. And all he asks us to do is receive him. And so, Father, I pray that those who are watching us today, listening to these words, will open their heart and receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that they will not be like the innkeeper and not have any room in their life, but they will open the doors of their heart and say, Lord Jesus, come and live within me. Be my Savior. Forgive me of my sin, and I will seek to live for you from this day forward. Thank you for those who pray that prayer, who understand that when they pray that prayer, they pass from death into life and they become children of the everlasting God. Thank you for those who have prayed, and Lord, guide them in these days that are before them during the Christmas season.
Pastor Jeremiah, do me a favor and explain to someone that has just prayed that prayer that that infant child 2,000 years ago is the reason they can have peace in the midst of the storm they call life all around them.
Well, first of all, the one who was born in the manger was the creator of the world, the one who controls all of the elements and controls every day. He's allowed us to live in this time. One of these days that's going to be over, but he's promised us that if we put our trust in him, not only will he come and be the king in our heart, one day he's going to be the king over the earth, and we can spend eternity with him. When you receive Jesus Christ, here's what you get. You get eternal life. Mm-hmm. And eternal life begins the moment you believe, not when you die. Yeah. It begins the moment you believe. You begin immediately to live your eternal life, which never ends, ever and ever, because the eternal Son of God was willing to become a human. He now can offer to us the eternal life that he came to provide. So beautiful. I remember going through a cemetery one time, and on the cemetery tombstone, it said, born in a set of date, and it said, entered into eternal life after that. And I said, no, no, you don't enter eternal life when you die. You become eternal life when you become a Christian.
Yeah.
The great news, eternal life.
And that word, that everlasting life, that's like medicine to your soul when you even hear everlasting life. And that when we do choose Jesus, that moment happens for us. I think what's kind of hit me this Christmas season, Dr. Jeremiah, is when my mother-in-law used to love the Living Bible. Mm-hmm. And so I brought one of her Bibles with me today. And I've been kind of this season listening to what Isaiah said. And man, it was a mess when he was prophesying back in Isaiah 9. And so he throws the people a bone and says, okay, he is coming. There is a Messiah coming. And I love how the Living Bible says it. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. So if we think about that right now, does that mean what I think it means?
Absolutely, because that's a promise of his millennial reign for 1,000 years, and when he will be the king, and there will be no one who will stand up against him. He will reign in peace, And that's a promise. And that verse is kind of an interesting verse because the first part of the verse is about his first coming. And then without any transition, the second part of the verse is about his second coming mm-hmm. when he sets up his kingdom.
Yeah.
So there is a time coming when we won't be doing what we did these last few days and yeah. all of the
hallelujah,
all of the jockeying around to see who's doing what. And no, the Bible
it really
says
doesn't matter
King Jesus is going to rule and his yeah. son and David will be his vice regent.
Wait, are you saying that Jesus isn't a Republican or a Democrat?
No.
Okay.
Well, and you know what?
Is that what you're saying?
Weird.
He will not be elected.
Okay.
I love it. Well, and then his name will be called, this says, these will be his royal titles. Wonderful, mm-hmm. Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and his ever-expanding peaceful government will never end. When we receive Jesus, we receive that wonderful.
Right.
We receive that counselor, that mighty God inside of our lives, that everlasting Father.
There's a very interesting little phrase that captures that, yes. Lori. Somebody said that when you become a Christian, Jesus Christ becomes your king, but not quite yet. He becomes your king because he comes to live within your heart.
Yeah.
The Bible says when we're saved, we pass from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his light. But he's not quite king yet because he's not on his throne. He's king in our heart. And one day he will be king over the whole world. And every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord.
Yeah.
But he's right now, but not quite yet. He's in our heart as our king personally. One day he will be the king over all the earth, as the Bible describes in the verses that you just read.
How did this movie get made?
Oh, with a lot of a lot of heartache.
A lot of resources, a lot of people, a lot of heartache. Yeah. Is
what you said earlier, I think all of us who are a part of it would agree to it. It was about 10 times harder than we thought it was going to be when we started. More problems. We had all of the sets in process and COVID happened. And we had to shut down everything. And obviously when we came back, everything was almost twice as much to finish. So we have had many days when we've put our heads down and said, Lord, if you don't break through here, this is not going to happen. And to know that it is finished and that it is ready to be released, there's such an excitement in our hearts because we know God has been in this from the very beginning, from the beginning of the book, through the writing of the script, through the hiring of all of the character Joseph is a drama student at Liberty University. And Mary, we found Mary some of the way. They're the perfect Joseph and Mary. And the whole story and the way it was put together and the people that were involved. And, you know, we have a lot of bad things to say about Hollywood, but a lot of Hollywood people helped us. And the score for this movie, which is so beautiful, was written by Don Harper, who is well known in Hollywood for writing scores for movies. We have captured this. And, you know, it's one thing when you do something to think, well, we did okay. It's another thing to say, you know, we put everything we had into this movie. We didn't leave anything undone that we thought should be done. And we can rest now and say, thank God.
That hits home too much.
Put the camera on me because I have this
big... Are we
sweating? No, I have this big dumb smile on my face. I can't wipe this grin. Sitting, listening to you passionately talk about making a movie brings joy to my heart for some, you know, Lori and I labored to do, you know, from 1989 to about 2010, we had our own production company. We did eight or so theatrical motion pictures. And I can tell you that the passion that you're feeling to tell this story is just exciting for me. I've been there. I've done it. They're like children, you know, they when you birth a movie and it's done and you get to watch it on a big screen, all of the pain melts away and you get to enjoy the story. You're going to have your premiere in just a couple of days and you're going to get to sit in a darkened theater on a big screen and watch the true story of Christmas come to life.
I remember.
I'd love to be there sitting next to you, squeezing your hand. But
I remember just looking at each other because of every movie was just so painful, it seemed like, you know. And so anybody who actually made a movie, we had such respect. was like, you know what? I just respect them so much for making one. Mm-hmm. You know, that was always our attitude because
we understand that, and we actually put ourselves under a higher commitment. We didn't want to just make a movie that other people could make. We wanted to make a movie that would stand the test of being
beautiful.
Compared to things that are made by movie people.
Yeah.
We're not movie people.
Yeah.
You have beautiful white hair. So how old are you now?
I'm 81.
81. So at 81, you get to venture onto set. You get to watch the cinematography. You get to watch the actors. You get to watch the director. Mm-hmm. You get all that. Give me your sense. You're normally behind a pulpit orchestrating mm-hmm. a service. It's not like you're not used to being kind of the conductor of an event. Mm-hmm. Okay, did you feel completely out of control, like you had no idea what was going on? Or
there were times that I did, and as I kept watching how much it cost.
Now you really sound like Dad. Yeah.
Oh my God.
But you know, there's a part where you get in the middle of it, and mm-hmm. you have all this invested,
right.
and you have to finish.
No turning back.
Right. No. So I'm not complaining about that, because I know God is in this, and He's brought some people along to help us. And you know, there's a statement that I remember reading as a young pastor, and it went like this: attempt great things for God and expect great things from God.
Love that.
And sometimes the reason we don't get great things from God is we don't attempt great things for God.
Yeah,
this was a great attempt on our part to do something that would bring glory to God as we tell the story of the gift of His Son, Jesus. And I believe that God is going to do this in such a way that not only will it be a beautiful movie, but it will be a story that helps people understand why we celebrate this season in the first place.
And we get to enjoy it right here on TBN. Thank you.
We're going to air like crazy. By the way, this is kind of an interesting thing. There might be somebody viewing in the audience, you thinking, okay, that's inspiring. An 81-year-old senior pastor who spent most of his time preaching the word steps out of the box, starts putting together the finance necessary, the people necessary. This is a 3-year process for you. It was interrupted by a pandemic. You kept pushing through. You spend so much money initially, you have to just keep going. and it made me think, what's your excuse?
Yeah.
What's your excuse for what God's called you to do? Do something amazing for God.
Attempt to do something amazing.
And let David Jeremiah's 81 years young kind of be the, what, you know, you just kept going. You almost feel obligated to just keep going. And I love that with God. I remember being involved in a few of the projects that Lori and I've been involved in. You get so far down the road, you can't go back. It's easier to think of finishing it than backing up and untangling it. So you might as well just keep going.
Yeah. And if God told you to do it in the first place, He didn't say do it halfway until it gets hard and then quit.
Right.
Okay. The pandemic comes and shuts down everything. You keep going. Challenges are going to come to every project. Here you're telling the story of the Son of God. You would have thought He would have kind of greased the skids for you, right? Mm-hmm. But you had challenges. You keep going. That's a testament to what life in Christ really is. It's not that we aren't going to have challenges, but we have to just keep going forward.
You know, during this time, one of the things that, you know, God gives you some verses sometimes to help you.
Yes.
I don't know if you've ever read Deuteronomy 33:25, but this is what it says. As your days are, so shall be your strength.
That's right.
And I just remembered every day, all of us pretty much, and me especially, because I had some issues going on then too. Every day was just one day.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we get over our ski. We get ahead of God. We want God to give me a promise that we'll get this done. No, He doesn't do that. According to your days, so shall your strength be. I'll give you what you need for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And you take that and move this bar a little bit. And every day, and then pretty soon, a bunch of tomorrows come together, mm-hmm. and you get to go to a premiere.